Brother Freeman, brethren moderators, brothers and sisters in Christ, I count it a privilege to have the opportunity of these studies night by night. I mentioned the other night some copies of the Guardian of Truth that we brought. If anyone would like to take something home and study further, we have those still for you, and you can take a handful, a dozen, two dozen, or more, whatever you like. If you'd like to share them with someone else, that's what they're for. As we continue in this study tonight, he made mention of the questions, and he made mention of the fact that the question he asked me, what is the meaning of adultery, in Matthew 19, that I showed, let's just look at 82 and 83 again. He seemed to think that I was not focusing on Matthew 19:9. What I was trying to show you is that as used in Matthew 19:9, you have the broader application that Christ gives us. You would agree in Matthew 19:9 that polygamy would be adultery. You would agree that it includes concubines, but it didn't over there, did it? That's why I was referring to that, to help you see there's a broader meaning over here. And that's why I was saying that broader meaning includes sexual intercourse with another spouse, one put away for fornication that remarries. Jesus includes all cases of adultery. I give you the case of a man married, but he gets with another man's wife. That's the simplest case. But now you can have sin upon sin. A man divorces his wife and marries another. That's not exactly the same circumstance, but it's still adultery. And then the put-away fornicator remarries. That's still adultery. I realize it's not the same as that first case. I realize it's not even the same as that second case. But they are all called adultery by the Lord. The remarriage of a man after divorcing his wife, or the remarrying of the divorced woman, is tantamount to adultery. Now, he did not call for this chart. If he did, I missed it. Number 83. And you see, we pointed out to you, Jesus is making these equivalent to adultery, or in other words, providing you a Bible definition. And then on number 2 that he asked me, under what conditions, if any, may the one guilty of adultery and divorced for that cause scripturally remarry? You said, why is this one free? Oh, excuse me, right on the first point, I said reconciled to original mate, and you said, why, they were still married. No, this question says divorced for that cause. They're not still married. I'm just saying they can go back and remarry that one, and they gave you Jeremiah 3:1, and what did you say about that? Nothing. Then I said, if released from constraint of law by death of spouse, and you said, well, why is this one free? Well, Romans 7:2-3 says that we're released from the constraint of law concerning our marriage when there's that death. Do I think that the death of the spouse removes the guilt? You asked me that as a follow-up. All right, the answer to that's no, I don't. It removes the constraint of law. It doesn't remove the guilt. Now, why did God make that distinction in the case that there's the death of the spouse, then there's a removing of constraint of law? I'm not God, and I don't answer for that. I'm just showing you what the text says. All right, that's all that he questioned on that. Look at number 54, though, while we're there. Number 54. As to why was this one freed? My friend, the Bible tells me so. That's all I know about it. It said if the mate dies, you're released from that law, and I know we can remarry. Now, that's the only why I can give you. Then on my questions. Number 1, if the mate guilty of fornication can remarry, the sinner receives benefits and rights. Now, he said I lied on him because that he said God gave the right and not the sin. Okay, when does God give the right? Brother Freeman, when does God give the right? God gives the right when you commit this sin. You're right back where you started from. And then number 2, repentance requires severing of which sinful relationships? Homosexual, polygamous, adulterous, incestuous, man with a beast. The man married 100 times. And the first time, he referred to having to repent of all these sins. I thought that's what he said, but now I guess he's taking it back. Said, I lied on him again about that. Well, now, either they have to get out of those or stay in them. It won't do to just say, I lied about you. Tell us if they have to get out of them or can they stay in them. That's why I asked you the question. And you know, this man married 100 times. You said the first time that they would have to repent and get out of these things. I thought you did. But can he stay in it? You going to take that position? Is that your point now? I shouldn't have lied about him because his position is the man can stay married to these 100 wives. Or you, if you say he has to get out, then he's single. When he gets out, he's single and he can go marry wife 101, according to his teaching. Well, at any rate, he commented to that degree on the questions. Now, my chart number 2. Chart number two. He mentioned this one, the affirmation here, and he said that I had made this point. The Bible is silent on the right to marry another, and indeed I did. And he said, well, 1 Corinthians 7 proves that they do have the right. All right, let's go to 130 again. Number 130. Every man. My opponent makes it absolute. 1 Corinthians 7, 2. Let every man have his own wife. You disregard the context and other passages. And you didn't tell us what about this. Every spirit that confesses Christ, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and so on. Now you've got to consider there is a context. I heard Pat Boone one time preaching from this list of texts, and he was just telling how the churches of Christ have been too narrow, and how we get in the Methodist, and the Baptist, and the Catholic, and all of these, and he kept stressing every, whosoever. And then when he read this one, everyone that loveth is born of God, he literally stopped. And he just was silent and finally said, whew, that one's even too broad for me. Because see, he'd argued it so there were no limits. So if anyone had any love, then that put them in with the Lord. Now that's the way you're handling 1 Corinthians 7, 2. Does it ever get too broad for you? Every man, every man, every man. There are conditions with that. Now 196, 7 and 8 on this 1 Corinthians 7. Luce has this same degree of latitude in the Greek and the English. 1 Corinthians 7. Let's notice it. 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. All right, now notice it. I gave him the example, and what did he say about it? Unbinding her hair, or with unbound hair. Is your hair tied up? Don't unbind it. Is your hair unbound? Don't tie it up. Does this mean, this second, is your hair unbound? Don't tie it up. Does that mean it had to have been bound before? No, sir. It just means free from this state of confinement or restraint. Many dogs run loose. Does that mean they had been tied up before? Not necessarily at all. Now look at 197. The Greek writers that you can find in Mayer, probably in your library back there, and in Alford, probably in your library back there, he says, used to be loosed, free from others. This Greek writer used that as meaning independent, autonomous. Not meaning that they had been bound to something. Independent, autonomous. Phocius, the Greek writer, said, not those who have been joined together and then dissolved the relationship, but those who have not cohabited, not entered into a marital union, but being loosed free of this bond. That's the way the Greek writers understood and used the word. No wonder he doesn't want to talk about these. 198. All right, Dorinthee, maybe this is in your library back there. First Epistle to Corinthians, he said verses 25 through 38 take up the issue of the never before married. And that's right, read your context. Now concerning virgins, he's going to talk about the never before married. In verse 27, Paul chose a word that could express being loosed, divorced, for the married, whose corresponding verb could mean to be free from, never married, for the case in hand. It lies totally outside the present context to suggest that the two questions address the married and the divorced, he said. Now that's the force of the Greek word. I'm not a Greek scholar, and you're not, but we can use a dictionary. I don't even pretend to be an English scholar, but I can use a dictionary. All right, now my 321. He says, the problem is I tried to prove my proposition by these. Now that's just your assertion. I offered this as a study aid, just like I was doing on 1 Corinthians 7, 27, and 28. Now, Brother Freeman, 1 Corinthians 7, 27, 28 is the authority and the final word, but we're trying to study it. That's our point. He doesn't want these study tools. He's defending ignorance and glorifying ignorance. But I want you to notice now in 321a, he said, no scriptures, therefore I used sources like this. Well, what about you? Did you have no scripture and that's why you cited Thayer in the June 1988 tape on marriage? Did you have no scriptures? Or had you thrown away your Bible when you cited Thayer? The other night, what about it when you cited the scholars and translations? Now, he called for 321, but he didn't call for 321A. Would you like to next time? And tell us about it. Uninspired source does not replace the Bible. I never made any pretense of such a thing. But in age in Bible study, we all can understand that well. Number 60. Here's what I used. But we can use age to study and reflect upon it and to help us dig into it. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife Satan for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. I quoted that, I introduced that, and did you know he complained about it, if you remember, and said, I should have been studying 1 Corinthians 7 instead of Matthew 5 and Matthew 19. See, I was quoting it plenty. Oh, yes. And then 72. Matthew 19, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, remember me quoting this? And shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. And 73. That's what I quoted. We're just trying to study it. Now the force is rule and exception. Whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Remember this chart? Whosoever shall put away his wife for fornication and shall marry another doth not commit adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. There's your text and the force of the exception. 74. You remember this one? Except if and only if. Was this scriptures? I threw away the Bible because I mentioned some study sources and study aids. Except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. It means if and only if you become as a little child, you enter. If and only if you're born of water and the Spirit, you enter. If and only if you put away your wife for fornication and marry another, you do not commit adultery. A simple passage, a simple point. If you can go away from this debate and remember just one word, the word except, friend, you've got it. That's how simple that is. Throw away the Bible and use the commentaries, he told me. He said, why throw away the commentaries? So he's ready to throw his away, and some have already told me they want to get some of those books. Just pass through his study as you go out. Now 3:14. He said on this thing about Herod to Herodias, that it forbids him to have his brother's wife. Well, if it forbids him, that doesn't sound like much mercy to me. Why can't he show mercy to him? Forbidding to marry. Forbidding why he's apostate. You see, it was an unlawful marriage. And marriages can be unlawful for various reasons, but when it is an unlawful marriage, we have to get out of that to be right with God. But what about if he would repent, Brother Freeman? If he'd say, oh, John, I repent of it. Would John say, fine, I'll baptize you and you can keep them? Would that be it? Tell us about that. They talked about wanting to break up marriages, and I want to tell about how many I broke up. Does God want us to break up our happy home? Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed. And what could they do about it? Therefore, make confession. They meet the condition of forgiveness. Now watch it. And separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. And I guess he went home and reported how many homes he broke up. This is a matter of God's law. And you're making ridicule of principles of God's law. 3:11. Now, here's the sectarian cry. Well, the sad fact is that while some of us are spending our time trying to salvage souls and build up churches, others are spending their time going around the world trying to proselyte souls and break up churches. I've heard that. Have you heard it? I've heard it from the Baptist and the Methodist. I'm not trying to be ugly to them, but that's the kind of speech I've heard their preachers make. And I guess you go home and report how many you proselyted, and why didn't you get out and reach the lost, they say. Now here's Brother Freeman, the sad fact is that while some of us are spending our time trying to salvage marriages, others are spending their time going around the world trying to break up marriages. You know what that is? That's what Ahab said to Elijah. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're castigating me for being a troubler. Yeah, just like the sectarian will do you for being a troubler. But there are Bible principles involved here. 3:12. Unauthorized religions, unauthorized marriages. Do you try to get people out? Paul did in Acts 17:23. And we need to get people out of unauthorized marriages, Mark 6:18. And what does repentance require? 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, they had turned from idolatry and repented of all of that. Leroy Garrett says you can repent and stay in the denomination. Is that repentance? Brother Garrett says it is. He said just repent, and in fact he reported that he baptized some, but told them now stay in the Catholic Church. Because you have God's mercy and you've been forgiven. And now what about my opponent tonight? What does repentance require? Ezra 10 and Mark 6. It means we've got to get out of that unscriptural marriage. Oh, but he says repent or be baptized and then stay in the unscriptural marriage. What about it?
guilty of destroying religion, destroying churches and worship if you get people out. The false teacher thinks so. And guilty of destroying marriages and families and homes if you get people out of these unscriptural marriages. The false teacher thinks so. You see? But these passages demand that we get people out of unauthorized religion. And these passages demand and teach, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 included, that you quoted. He said, such were some of you, but the point of the whole Scripture was they couldn't conduct themselves like that anymore. They couldn't continue in these unscriptural marriages. All right. Now then, he talked about the two law matter. And that he never preached about, I forgot, the opponent appeals to the emotion on breaking up happy homes. Many years they've lived together and these children, all of that. Well, what about homosexual marriages? They've had many years together and children by former marriage or adoption, and they can adopt them now in New York. I saw that in the, I'm afraid to say it, newspaper. Uninspired source. Do you ever refer to them? We refer to them to cast light on things and help us study, don't we? And so now they're doing that. Polygamous marriages. Now think about it. Do you like to report? Well, you can only break up one, and maybe you broke up 20. See? Just in one shot. The man had 20 wives, and I guess you'd come home and brag, I broke up 20 of them this time. My friend, he talks about makes that emotional play, but it's 10 times the wives, 10 times the children, and 10 times the emotions where there's polygamy. Now, there are some in this audience who say in a polygamous marriage they don't have to get out. No need to mention them at this point, but maybe you're ready to take that position. What about incestuous marriages? They've been together many years and many children. What about Herod and Herodias are okay if they were together for many years and had several children? Would it work? All right, now. On the matter of two laws, he said he doesn't teach two laws. But the point is, it's the consequence of what you're teaching. I realize you haven't seen it yet. And I'm asking you to study and realize what you're doing. In the passage, it applied it to the first group here, 1 Corinthians 7, 10-11, where there's two believers, and made an application to the believer and non-believer, and it was the same application, stay in a scriptural marriage. Two believers stay, except for fornication, is law one, as you teach it, and you don't let them use desertion. But where you have a believer and unbeliever staying except for desertion, well, then they can't use fornication. That's a consequence of what you're teaching. 2:23. Now, two laws can't be mixed, you see. And if there are two laws, adultery is not adultery. Two believers married and one deserts, the other remarries. He says it's adultery and they got to get out. He said that the other night, but he changed his answer tonight. But at any rate, I believe it's adultery. I'll let him figure out what he wants to on that, but it is adultery. Then you come along, believer and unbeliever married, same set of circumstance. Unbeliever deserts in this case, and the other remarries, and it's not adultery. Now you see it, now you don't. It's the consequence of what you're teaching. Well, that's enough on that. Now regarding 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28, again, let's go back to that. He read from Revelation 14:3-4, that referred to a case of virgins. That's fine, I accept that passage. But look now again at one. This is 190, I think. All right, loosed from a wife. Is it never married or divorced? In the whole context, he took up virgins in verse 25. He's going to talk about them. But it wasn't divorcees. And Paul says, good to be as I am. Divorced? See? And to be so to be, he said. Which he was loosed is the point. Was he divorced? Now, if divorced or deaf, the Bible says, seek another wife. But verse 27 didn't say that. Now, unmarried male is the loosed, unmarried female is the virgin there. It's not referring to a divorce. It's those never married. Go through the context. All of these terms will show you that. The next one, 191. All right, clarified by context. Remember that? Verses 27 and 28 deal with the loosed and virgins. Two groups never married is the point of it. All right, 191A. All right, divorced people, never married man is loosed from a wife. His female counterpart is a virgin. If loosed means the man is divorced, then a virgin means the woman is a divorcee. Now, what's not in this passage that he desperately has got to find is that it would read like this, art thou a guilty fornicator, divorced? Seek not a wife, but if you're married, you haven't sinned, and it just doesn't say it's just not there. Then here's number 16. None were told to leave the marriage. He says that I can't find a specific instance of where they were told that. and I'll find just as many as he can find where they were told to leave homosexual relationship. Now notice chart 240 on this matter. My opponent wants an example of people in an adulterous marriage getting out of it. It's on the same page with the example of people getting out of homosexual marriages, polygamous, incestus, man and beast. Would you insist they must get out of these? But where is the specific example? In Acts 2, Acts 18, or any of those other passages? You know it's not there. Now look at 248. He knows better than this. He demands a specific example of people leaving a second marriage, but watch. This is from his notes on the Hodge debate. If no specific example of breaking bread in a second assembly excludes it, when you don't have a specific example, if that means you can't have it, then he added, no example of disciples assembling a second time on the Lord's Day makes a second assembly sinful. And so he added, who can believe it? All right, Brother Freeman. If no specific example of dissolving unscriptural marriages excludes that, and we don't have to demand that, then no example of leaving polygamy, concubines, homosexual, makes leaving that sinful too. Who can believe it indeed?
4 minutes.
All right, his 25 was on repentance. His number 25. All right, now does repentance demand stopping a sin? And you couldn't have any honest labor? No, that's not the point. Couldn't have an honest marriage? It's got to be according to Scripture to be what is right with God. He can marry if it's a scriptural marriage. And I've covered that, even the put away fornicator. As Jeremiah 3:1 shows, could remarry the former mate, or when there's a death and so on. 236. How do you show repentance? If you steal a man's watch, you give it back. If you steal a man's car, you give it back. If you steal a man's wife, you keep it. Is that it? Now the offended party may concede a watch, says, I don't want it back. Concede a car, I don't want it back. But my friend, he can't give his wife the right to marry another. Then his 43, I believe, was the last chart he had on Colossians 3, 5 to 7.
3 minutes.
All right. Now I want you to notice the key to this. He makes a play. Living in fornication, if it means married to a fornicator, then living in uncleanness would be married to an unclean person. Now the difference is in the nature of the sin, brother. It takes two people to live in adultery and fornication. But the uncleanness is the act of the individual person. And these other things. You've got a difference in the nature of the sin. But suppose it said, whoso marrieth an idolater committeth idolatry. Then he would have to get out of the idolatrous marriage, wouldn't he? Of course, it doesn't say that. But it says, whoever marries one put away commits adultery. And so they must get out of that. Well, notice then chart 54. Our 54. How do we know? The Bible tells me so. If your mate dies, marry another. If you put your mate away for fornication. But he hasn't found where the put-away fornicator is given that authority. And then remember God versus Satan. If you eat, you'll surely die. If you eat, you'll not surely die. Believe and baptized, saved. Believe and not baptized, saved. All right? Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth not commit adultery. 330. Now, does he encourage sin by this teaching? Each will say no, but you watch the fruit. Once saved, always saved. Oh, we don't encourage sin, but their followers don't attend the services, and they get into unscriptural divorces, and the church support of missionary society will kill the zeal of a church, and the same with the institutions, and instrumental music will weaken your singing. It does encourage sin. Now, notice, my friend, does he encourage sin? Oh, each will say no when they teach this kingdom law concept. Baptism washes away wives, redefine adultery, fornicator can remarry, the unbeliever leaves and all of that. But they accept many in unscriptural marriages. High divorce rate where this teaching has been for years. You'll find cases of deacons swapping of wives, elders in second, third, and fourth marriages, preachers in second, third, and fourth marriages, children of elders and preachers in second, third, and fourth marriages, general looseness on moral issues. That's what happens. And the next. Now notice error's appeal. What makes error appealing in the matter of abortion? It creates the appeal of fornication without responsibility. Unscriptural divorce and remarriage will have an appeal to us. The appeal is fornication and adultery. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, and we've got to make up our mind to do that. Remarriage of the guilty party invites sin. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia warns that when courts allow remarriage to guilty and innocent alike, We invite the very evils we seek to remedy. We make it the interest of a dissatisfied party to create the grounds that free him to marry another. The law of Christ opens no such door to invite sin. We must close these doors that destroy homes. And the idea the guilty party can remarry is a theory that will weaken our concept of the home and the strength of our homes.
Thank you.